WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positives. Big shout out and thanks to all of our sponsors, especially over at Catonsville at Jennings, where I'm still eating the lasagna from the last trip, as well as at State Fair, where I'll be having chicken and waffles and shrimp and grits soon. And if Faithies, where Commissioner Harrison will be joining us very, very soon. You can go to Baltimore Positive and learn more as we're now 100 episodes deep. And as I step away a little bit, we're doing some sort of mini segments on some important issues. You always say they're themes, Don. And I guess with you and I, because you were my educator in 1982, education, it still comes back to that. We talked about crime, we talked about urban development, all sorts of stuff, but education, 2020, Kerwin, if I could tell you right now we can get Kerwin done this year, you're going to tell me we're going to use every segment talking to people like Cheryl Boast, right?
Well, before we even get to Cheryl, I'll say this to Cheryl, and we're delighted to have the president of MSEA, Cheryl Boast, outstanding educator, outstanding. I guess Cheryl's always, once an elementary school teacher, always an elementary school teacher.
I'm always an elementary school student.
but Cheryl, I'm going to start by saying I've known Nestor a long time, and he does get passionate and worked up over things. But he's passionate at a level that I haven't seen him in a long time over Kerwin and the efforts of the governor and others to fight Kerwin. And he keeps asking the same question over and over and over. And that is, what's the end game? What's in it for people fighting Kerwin to suggest that we don't need to do better by our students and our teachers? So with that, I'm going to throw you the softball of softball. tell us why people out there should care at all about the recommendations of the Kerwin Commission.
Well, it's great to be joining you. As Don said, I'm a fourth grade teacher from Baltimore County. I love my Baltimore County. And now I get to represent over 74,000 educators from across Maryland who are really pulling to make sure that the Kerwin recommendations get fully funded within a 10-year transition in. And really, Don, your question, we don't know why anyone would be against the children in Maryland and their public school education. The Kerwin Commission is looking at expanding career and technology education so that when our students are in high school, they can make a decision if they're going to go to college or if they want to go right out into the workforce. Some want to go right out into the workforce so that they can then afford college. We want to provide community schools for our most impoverished communities. We have too many students in every district that are living in poverty. We see these numbers continue to increase, and we really need to provide them social services, school counselors, mental health, and health and wellness services right there in their schools.
Cheryl, hold that thought just for a second, and don't lose your place, and I apologize. But we're committed. We want to keep putting a face on this for folks. You mentioned community schools, one of the key recommendations of Kerwin. I want to encourage our listeners and our viewers that if you have not done so, go back in the archives of Baltimore Positive and listen to Principal Chris Battaglia, the principal of Ben Franklin High School in Baltimore City.
Cherry Hill.
A true community school. And Chris will outline for them eloquently why community schools matter. So Cheryl's talking about it being one of the recommendations. If you missed Chris Battaglia, go back into the archives of Baltimore Positive. Listen to the principal who's there each and every day talk about why that recommendation matters. I'm sorry, Cheryl, go ahead.
No, that's okay. It's very important for people to learn about each of these initiatives. And another key component is teacher salaries. Right now, 47% of teachers in Maryland leave after 3 years.
It's an unbelievable number. I mean, somebody said 50%. You give me 40%. It's that's just incredible, right? Like the turnover. How can we make the profession more viable, more sustainable, more desirable, as it was for you coming out of Pittsburgh? You had to go somewhere, right?
I did.
Why do you have to bring that up?
I love
Cheryl. Why do you have to bring up
4 minutes?
Why do you
this?
Have to bring up the Steeler thing? I love
it's
her.
It's the holidays.
Hey, born and raised black and gold, you got to stay that way. But
I allow one Steelers friend in my life. It's Mike Tomlin. That's it. He's the only one I deal with. You know what? Charlie Batch and I get along. But other than that,
back
you know.
To
well, you can make three. You can make me.
There you
but,
go. Back to teacher salary show.
Right. So, one, we have 94% of our teachers who are putting supplies and materials out of their own pocket. They're buying those for their schools. So we're not resourcing our schools as much as we should. We have 50% of our teachers that are working a second or more jobs.
50%?
50%.
That's
teachers.
Not summer job, right? That's like a job the other nine
no,
months.
That's a job that we're doing on the weekends, we're doing in the evenings, Uber drivers, or they're doing, you know, at home parties, or actually waitressing. So these are jobs just to make ends meet.
And Cheryl, you're kind of sort of my age, and we're around the same. I had roommates that came from yins and out up in the Berg, who went to IUP, who was a school teacher, elementary school teacher. Over at Stricker. I'm going back into the early 90s, late 80s when you came online to do this. And I had girlfriends that were teachers. It just how rough it was, you know, when I'm working at the paper doing radio 20, 30 years ago. And I wonder, and I always say this to Don, you're probably the greatest civics teacher there ever was. He only taught civics for 5 or 6 years, then went into a different trajectory in their life. I mean, what's the percentage of people that are 15 or 20 year teachers now? I mean, it felt like every teacher I had, like Don, it felt like that's what their life's work was. To a kid from Dundalk, it felt like everyone was a teacher for life, that was a great profession to be in. That's clearly not the case for you if you're 22 years old right now, right?
Right, and many people do go into it because they see it as their life calling and something that they're passionate about. I love teaching. I love being with kids, creating great lesson plans. But it's not paying the bills for too many of our teachers. They're coming out in debt. So it's a rewarding career. It's just when you make...
It's not a sustainable career. It's not a realistic
career.
Right.
And a part of that is we are ranked 49th in the country for teacher autonomy. But let me explain what that means. That means there's too many people above us telling us what we need to do in our classroom. So I'm sure Don was a great civics teacher because he created an atmosphere and a culture in his classroom where he had control over that. As a fourth grade teacher, I remember putting the yellow brick road through my classroom when we were doing Wizard of Oz. Teachers now are being told you should do this on this day at this time so that we can be prepared for the standardized tests. And so that just takes really the creativity and fun out of teaching, and that's why so many people got into it and then why so many people are getting out.
She is Cheryl Bost. You can find her out at the MSEA, Maryland State Education Association. She's the president, and we're talking Kerwin. And look, I live in the city. We have all sorts of issues. We talk about all of them, but every single thing, whether it's crime, whether it's jobs, whether it's upper mobility, whether it's communities, it all foundationally begins with education. And in this journey of Baltimore Positive over the first year, I guess there really is a reason above and beyond Don being an educator and me being interested in it in some degree. It's that if we're getting that wrong, everything's going to be wrong. And we had Debbie Phelps on, and she said earlier today, she said that everybody in her organization is a believer in public education. It's almost like, to me, like you can have any faith you want, religion you want, but if you don't believe in public education, what do you believe in? You have to believe in that because there is no other real viable alternative for the majority of our society. So finding people that don't believe in public education, and I'm a product of public education. You've made hundreds, if not thousands, of children products of public education. My relationship with Don was born of public education. It's all we got. It has to be invested in. And that's why I'm appalled at the Hogan thing. I'm appalled at the dark money coming after Kerwin. I'm really more appalled that you would be saying out loud, we shouldn't do more for education. And we always see what's really being done. We vote with our wallet, right? I mean, all you need to do to see, call Johnny and ask him what he's spending on education proportionally to everything else. And that's locally what we really believe in. We put our dollars behind it. But the Kerwin thing, for you and every one of you out in front, what would this mean for the fourth grade teacher at Mars Estates, which, by the way, is between two of my great sponsors, Al's and and Pizza John's. And so I love those children because they're well fed over there. But what would it mean for a fourth grade teacher?
Well, we asked that across the state. We asked our teachers, if we could bring more money into your school, what would you want? And overwhelmingly, they want technology, equitable technology. They want all schools to have lower class sizes. They want them to have teachers in every class. I talked to many of our large locals today, 100 vacancies, a couple hundred in Prince George's County. Wow. That means students are being taught by someone who doesn't know the content. They want additional psychologists and school counselors to service students. They want to be able to provide after-school programming and summer programming for students, especially who live in poverty. Many of our educators can go through a list of everything that they want for our schools, and Kerwin really does match up to that. One of the key components is to provide tutoring at a young age. As a fourth grade teacher, I could tell the students in my class, if they couldn't subtract in fourth grade, they weren't going to be able to do algebra when they got to high school. And so if we could get them those supports early in elementary schools, and that's what the Kerwin Commission is pushing for. But to your point also, 74% of Marylanders are supporting putting additional money into public education. So the governor is just not listening at all.
Well, they understand what it means to our neighborhoods, to our communities, not just to your... I mean, I'm not having any more children. I don't think my son's having any more children. But the contribution of what it's going to mean when I walk down the street to the other people in the community and our children and our future and who's going to have these jobs. And it's very disappointing to hear
it's building our workforce. It's building, I mean, I look at it as who's going to care for me when I need to be taken care of in a nursing home or something. These are jobs that are opening up. The healthcare field is a huge job market. We need to provide students who have the skills necessary to take immediate jobs that are open here in Maryland. So it is our workforce. We don't want to open up more jails. We want to put more money into our public schools.
Yeah. Cheryl, Nestor and I, and Nestor will continue to reach out to the governor. We'd love to have the governor on. Actually, Nestor, I know you see Kiefer every week, and I see, Kiefer's a good friend, and he was just named the governor's chief legislative liaison. We'll be glad to have Kiefer on and discuss.
Kiefer and I had a really spirited debate about this offline,
this approach,
so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Because there are some parts of this, Cheryl, that we find pretty disheartening, and we've had Senate President Bill Ferguson on. We had
who was also, by the way, Bill Ferguson's whole career really was
a
teacher who was shoveling snow from the inside of his classroom, and it pushed him onto duty. You know, so people that are disappointed, this is a place of action.
We had Bill on, we had Appropriations Chair Maggie McIntosh on, we're having Speaker of the House Adrian Jones next week, and one of the things that both Senator Ferguson and Chairman McIntosh were so frustrated by was that the governor has come out of the box, and I'll use their words, and they don't mind me using their words, with things that aren't misrepresentations, but that are clear lies on the part of the governor. That when he says, if you believe in Kerwin, your income taxes are going to go up 39%. Your sales tax is going up 89%. Your property tax is going up 535%, and that each taxpayer will have to pay $6,000 more. Now, that's before they've raised the several million dollars to run commercials to that effect. Now, I assume that you will step in line with the senator and the delegate and say, that's simply a lie.
They are. They're just total fear-mongering and preposterous amounts. Our state is required to balance the budget. So he's talked about running a deficit. This is a governor who has yet to even engage in the conversation with the Kerwin Commission. And already he's finding every which way he doesn't want to support it. He's also a governor who initiated a voucher program here, which takes tax money and puts it in private schools. So he has totally been anti-public education from day one. And Dawn, to your point, just today, the Baltimore Sun released an article answering some of those questions, showing that the governor's numbers are just all false.
Well, and it's right out of the, I mean, I know people hate hate it when I say this, and I'll get tons of hate mail and Facebook posts as a result of this, but that is something truly out of the Trump playbook, to make these outlandish statements to scare people. Because the scary part, Cheryl, of that poll that you talked about was that while 70-some percent supported increased aid for education, 70-some percent also had no idea what Kerwin was. So their...
Well, that's the uphill battle.
Their opinions
people.
Are going to be formed by these commercials and this ad campaign funded by this dark money where nobody has to list the contributions that the governor, for some strange reason, has lined up behind. It just seems
Who
odd.
Wants to be the anti-education governor? I keep asking that question. Why would you want to fight
that? He's really fighting against the children and the future of our state. And Don, you're right. People don't know what Kerwin is when they did that polling. But what they do know is they know when they see their school in their community, they drive by or they drop their students off. They see that they need teachers. They see that they need more school counselors. They want the school down the street or their own school to have more services and technology. So the Kerwin is the title. But overwhelmingly, they support additional programs and staffing to go into our schools. And that's why we've been holding, along with Strong Schools Maryland and other coalition partners, we've been holding community forums across this state. So we're not going to do the glitzy commercials all year. We did some in the Baltimore metro area, but we're really digging down into the grassroots community, parents, students, to explain to them what Kerwin can do right in their neighborhood. And we think that is the best way to spread the truth and really get people to understand what this initiative will do that will carry us for the next 10 years.
How can people, Cheryl, and before we let you get away, I also want to ask you about the new formation of the Board of Ed on the state level. But before I do that, our listeners, our viewers, they want to get involved. They want to come to one of these community sessions. How do people line up to support MSEA and what you're doing? Where do they get more information?
Everyone can go to MarylandBlueprint.org. MarylandBlueprint.org. They can find out where the community forums have been taking place. Most importantly, they need to call their legislators, call their delegates, call their senators, and tell them that they support increased funding for their public schools. Take the time to meet with them. But MarylandBlueprint.org is a coalition of over 30 organizations that have put resources together and are really getting out to all communities to get everyone on board.
MarylandBlueprint.org, I am up on this. Cheryl, that was a lot to read here. I'd have you on another half an hour if I sat here and read all this. Really appreciate you. We'll send everybody out to follow you on Twitter as well at Boast, B-O-S-T-C-A-B, teacher union activist, Steelers fan, which means she's struggling right now, and Beach Lover. We have that in common, so that's good.
I have a real quick question before Cheryl gets out of the way, because you guys, by the time this airs, may even have already been completed, but really kind of landmark time in public education in the state. There's an election going on for a state board member. Talk to us about that.
Yes, we were finally able to get legislation passed to put one teacher out of a 14-member board on the State Board of Education. It's an exciting time to have a teacher voice to speak for all educators throughout the state. So there's an election. There's 13 candidates. We have supported one of those candidates that we think will be outstanding. The PTA will also be putting a person on. They will get seated in the January session, or they will begin in January, but for the first time in the state of Maryland, an active teacher will be sitting on the state board and have a voice, because currently the state board is made up of private school advocates, charter school advocates, business people. None of them are teachers actively teaching
Amazing.
In public schools. So it's much needed, and we really need to get
kind of reminds
students.
Me of the crazy lady running education in our country who bought her way in there. Kind of reminds me of that.
You got that right.
Well, Cheryl, it's been awesome. Have a great holiday season. May the Steelers have a great year and come in second. And we wish you nothing but the best. And let's really all link arms here, and let's get this Kerwin thing to the finish line.
Our kids can't wait, and we appreciate the time to talk about education. It's the pillar of our community. Thank you all.
Kids can't wait. Girl. Cheryl Bosch, you can find her at Bosch CAB out on Twitter as well as at the Maryland State Education Association. It's MSEA, MarylandEducators.org. She is Cheryl Bosch. That's B-O-S-T. You can find her there. Don is here. I am here. We're getting you through the holidays. Happy holidays to everybody out there. Appreciate you supporting our sponsors. Dennis Colossus just threw me a note. He was having lunch over at Jennings Cafe.
There you go.
The Jennings Burger. I saw that. We're also going to be over at State Fair with some chicken and waffles and some shrimp and grits, and I'll probably take a growler to go because it is the season. Why not? Time for a stout. And last but never least, we're going to have Police Commissioner Harrison joining us down at Fadley's in Lexington Market. You go to BaltimorePositive.com and get all of the details on that. Getting you up on education, crime, Baltimore, trying to make Baltimore better. Here's Don Moeller, former Baltimore County Executive. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, and Baltimore Positive. We're never stopping finding ways to make Baltimore better.